In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. Makes once, fakes twice, gives to Belly. 35-foot three for the win. Nemanja Bjelica.
We deserve this win, man.
When we're done, we go chop it up, eat, right. Golf, whatever you want to do. Before these 48 minutes, I ain't about them games.
Welcome back to another episode of the King's Pulse podcast presented by the King's Herald. My name is Brendan Nunez. Got Rich Ivanowski on here as we always do. Post-draft, recorded the night of. How you feeling, Rich? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I am doing great. If I drank, I would be drunk. I don't drink, but I actually do feel a little bit drunk, so I'm very tired. I did not sleep last night, like, basically at all. It's been a long day, and I still got some writing ahead of me. But yeah, man, I mean, just crushed it. I mean, just crushed it. My God.
Yeah, so they come away with, to recap it, or let's go pick by pick, I guess, and get reactions to this. So pick 12, right?
Let's drop the recap real quick, and then also... Okay. Just talk about the bogey thing for just a second and then move on, because I don't want to talk about it and there's no point in talking about it, but we just need to acknowledge it. Okay. I think for anyone that's like, doesn't know what's going on.
All right. Well, let's start with the bogey thing then. So it was announced, this is a couple of days ago now, maybe even just yesterday, 2 days when you're hearing this recording, that Bogdan Bogdanovic, there was a sign and trade in place to move him to Milwaukee for Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Ersan Ilyasova. And since then, there has been some backtracking going on, you know, potentially saying that Bogey hadn't agreed to this, and you know, there's very much potential that this is one of the teams, both of them, either one looking to kind of save face from a tampering issue, since, you know, free agency doesn't open up for 3 days, yet apparently there's already this sign and trade in place, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We have no idea what's going on. I honestly don't think that anybody does. Like, we see, you know, Windhorse on ESPN saying he doesn't know what's going on. It seems like the people at The Athletic don't really know what's going on. There's speculation abound. Jason Anderson at the B, I think, may have caught this a little bit early and was suggesting that there is no deal. But then we don't even know if that's correct either. Or, I mean, I guess it's correct because the deal isn't done. But then also, deals are like under the table done before they're officially done. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I honestly just want to table it until we know more. What do you think?
I'm totally good with doing that and really just focusing on these three draft picks that Sacramento managed to bring in today. Yeah, they walked in to the draft with picks 12, 35, 43, and 52. And ended up selecting at 12, trading from 35 to 40, as well as gaining an additional second rounder, picking at 43 and trading away pick 50 for a future second and a little bit of cash. But the three selections at 12, Tyrese Haliburton fell to Sacramento, pick 40, Robert Woodard the second, and pick 43, Jamias Ramsey. Rich, I think both you and I had all three of these guys as first round talents, top 30 players. No,
we absolutely did. Oh, God. I mean, it's incredible. I was really prepared to get zero of my top 30 guys tonight, that felt much more on brand for the Kings, but this is a new Kings. I mean, okay, just walking through it, like, we've been talking about it forever. Someone, we're just praying that someone of the top 11, of the consensus top 11, falls. And that happened. But we were also, like, even more worried that if it did happen, that the Kings wouldn't pick that guy. But they did. And it's Tyrese Haliburton, which is awesome. Did we both? Where did you have him on your big board at the end?
I had him at 9.
Yeah, so we're both top 10. I had a number 7.
Yeah, Vecini had him 8. Kevin O'Connor had him 9. Like, I think most people feel like this is great value for Sacramento. You know, it looked like it was going to be one of him or Vassell, and Vassell went 11 right there. I mean, Haliburton is just a great complementary player, and, you know, a theme throughout a lot of these guys, or actually every single draft pick, they're all ridiculous 3-point shooters.
Brant West had him 7 as well. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Yeah, there's some variations of like what consensus is. I saw The Athletic put out a consensus, which is like, I don't even know who they were drawing from, and I couldn't really quite figure it out. There's an awesome NBA draft Twitter consensus big board out there. He was 8th on that. I mean, here's what I'll say is, like, I think, like, universally, or as close as to universal as you can get, I think he's a universal top 10 player in this class, and Kings got him 12th.
And the guy that jumped into the top 11 to make this possible was Jalen Smith going to Phoenix, which is crazy to me.
I think it's completely crazy. It's very reminiscent of what they did last year, drafting a shooter that was projected to be like a late first, really reaching for a shooter.
Yeah, when Vassell and Haliburton are both guys that I thought would be really good there. Sacramento just gets tremendous value here. And, you know, assuming that one of Buddy or Bogey, it still seems like Bogey's going to be out one way or another, whether it's Milwaukee or not. Like, you know, instantly when you hear that Bogey's not on this roster, it's like, okay, well, who's going to be the secondary playmaker behind Fox? And Haliburton probably walks in as, you know, would you say, like, he comes in as the best passer on the Kings? Like, he's a great playmaker.
He's like, it's crazy how similar he is to Bogdanović in a lot of ways. No comps are perfect, obviously, and maybe all comps are bad. But, I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Size is very similar. Bogdanović, obviously, he's filled out a lot more. He's a lot older. He's been a pro for a lot longer. I think that Haliburton could get close. I don't think his frame is quite as good.
Mm. My differences would probably be, like, Bogey's more of an off-the-dribble shooter, while Haliburton is more of a defensive off-ball playmaker.
Yeah, I mean, I think that both can be plus shooters. I understand what you're saying, where, like, Bogdanović likes to cook a little bit more, create his own shot, but I don't know. I don't think that Haliburton can't do that. I don't think he's not going to, like, go into the mid-range so much. But as far as, like, just sort of a sidestep or a step back and shoot it from the perimeter, I don't think that he is unable to do that. He'll be better off catch and shoot, but Bogdanović was really good off. You know, like, that's, like, kind of it, as far as his role with the team, like, he did a lot of that too.
Yeah, he really did. And just to run through Haliburton's sophomore year numbers, you have 15 points, 6.5 assists, just under 6 rebounds a game, 2.5 steals on 50% from the field, 41% from 3 on 5.6 attempts a game, and 82% from the free throw line. We get to watch a lot of this wonky form, but it works. It goes in. The spacing that he's going to be able to provide alongside Fox, I think, is solid. And do you buy Haliburton guarding twos, because I mean, he'd probably be the one to do it over Fox, right?
For sure. I buy him guarding twos for sure. I think he's got, I would say pretty close to standard plus height and wingspan for twos, probably, probably like a standard plus height and a standard 6'5"
with 6'7" wings is Vecini's listing.
Probably probably like league average wingspan for a shooting guard, a little bit plus on the height and a significant minus in terms of weight. But I think that he can maybe improve that to, I don't know, like just below average there, or a little bit, not like devastatingly below average there. Mm-hmm. And at that point, like as an overall physical profile, like I think he's just a straight ahead. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm in love with Haliburton falling to Sacramento. I think that, yeah, I mean, all the reports of him just being an extremely intelligent guy, right? And he obviously is very well spoken from all the reports. Just a great person on top of being a solid role player, and just to have this. Like, I really want to focus on like his off-ball defense. I really think that he's a playmaker in regards to being in the right place at the right time, and especially getting those steals, jumping in passing lanes, and just his basketball IQ really benefits him on the offensive end with the playmaking. But then you also see that shine on the defensive end with those steals and being in the right spots.
Yeah, I think the difficulty with Sacramento for a really long time is the Kings have had two shooting guards and neither one has like been able to play starter level defense. And it's kind of led to this switching out, like, you know, who's got the hot hand, who's better coming off the bench, it's been kind of a nightmare. It's been kind of a roller coaster of who does Buddy defend. You know, who does Bogey defend? It's, I think at times we felt there's a little bit of upside from Hield there, and then that's really gone away, and it's been tough. And then at times we feel like Bogey's had a little bit of an upside there, but both have been negative guarding twos, and I don't know, pretty seriously negative guarding ones and threes. So switching on up or down, and I think Haliburton can be a legit plus defender on twos and a solid switcher one through three.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a case for that. You know, I think that I'm going to spend a lot of time watching probably most of the college games for all three of these guys, and we can dive into the fit a little bit more as we have probably about a month until the season ends. Is there more you want to touch on with Haliburton before we kind of move on to Woodard
Ramsey? Who's the best career of Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, or Tyrese Haliburton?
Man, it's not Buddy. I mean, I really think Haliburton can be the best player there. I mean,
any of them can be. Who do you think will be?
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. But I'm just going to turn the screws.
I don't think Buddy. I'll go with Haliburton because I think he's the one on there that really can be an impactful player on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy at all. I don't think that's crazy at all.
Yeah. So then Sacramento has pick 35 going into the draft, all the way up until we see the tweet from
what was this about, man?
Sacramento had the weirdest draft when it came to that. Twice there's no news, and then all of a sudden the pick comes up and it says pick 35, which is owned by Sacramento, Memphis selects Xavier Tillman, and then there's just no explanation. Like Dallas picks Tyler Bay after that at 36, Xavier comes out.
Memphis selects Tillman. I know what you mean. Like, so yeah, he's from Xavier, but yeah, like they would just put a different team making the pick and they would not address it for like legit a long time. Like,
we had like 5 minutes and we're like, so did Sacramento take him? Was there a trade?
No one knew what was going on. No one was reporting it. No one had any idea. And then, like, I saw, like, a James Hamm tweet at one point. This one, I think, was about pick 52. But he was like, looks as if the Kings moved out of 52, I suppose. Like, no one knew what was going on.
Right.
But, yeah. What do you think about this value? Yeah. So 35. Okay. First of all, Tillman. Did you want Tillman?
When I thought it was Tillman, I was fine with it. I like that pick. I think that Tillman is could give you like late first value. But yeah, I mean, you've definitely, I'm with you that centers are a lower value here. And I definitely preferred a Bay or Woodard. And even at 35, I thought that either a Bay or Woodard was pretty good value there. And I like that value better than Tillman. So to move down five spots and pick up what is a 2022 second rounder. I mean, it's, you know, that second rounder is probably whatever, but to gain another asset for what I thought already would have been a good pick for where you're sitting at 35, I think is just good business from the Kings. And yeah, I mean, I'm super happy with Robert Woodard the second from Mississippi State, 6'8", 7'1", wingspan, again, a 42.9% guy from three this season on 2.3 attempts. And yeah, I saw you tweeted out, and I'm totally with you. I think that there's real potential of a promising Marvin Bagley fit here.
Absolutely. He's the type of guy you want to play the four in a small ball center system. So if you're going to have one sort of non-shooting big man, he's kind of a perfect four in that situation. Let me just say on Tillman, I never thought Tillman was a pick because I just assumed that Shams' tweet was right. And then like everyone in the chat at Kings Herald was like so excited about Tillman. And I'm like, I actually don't want Tillman. So, I mean, as you know, we went over it this morning, but by the way, anyone out there who's listening to this, you can check out Twitter for our full live stream breaking down our entire big boards, all 60 dudes. I went to 75 and really got in the tall grass. But yeah, I didn't want Tillman. And I think he's going to be a solid player, good player. I don't think the fit is good. He is an older player. He is, I think, like a ready-made player, like a plug, you know, plug and play in a system with more spacing. And the Kings aren't that. And Woodard is such a more modern fit for Marvin Bagley.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball and basketball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champion, we'll go with six-time NBA champion, Robert Horry. See what they had to say and what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Woodard had some promising moments of weak side rim protection, I thought, and just solid rotations and verticality, and he has an okay vertical athleticism to him as well. And, you know, I will say that while there was this 42% from three on, it's a total of 70 attempts on the year in his freshman season, he only was 27% from three, 44 attempts. And from the free throw line in his sophomore season, shot 64%. So there is some skeptics of his three-point shot, but I think it looks fine. And you're actually going to see a little bit of a similar thing with Jamias Ramsey, where, again, actually very similar, 42% 42% from three, yet 64% from the free throw line. But I mean, I buy both of these guys as 3-point shots.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy them as like set in stone, but I certainly buy the upside.
Like, yeah, not as like 42% guys in the league or anything.
No, I mean, what are you saying?
Like, I'm just saying, you know, they were 42% each of them from three in college. I don't think that they're that level of shooter, but I do think that, you know, you're working with 37, 38% three-point shooters here, possibly.
No. I mean, generally, I think it doesn't translate like that. I expect your shooting to actually be worse in the pros with the line extending. I know it can go the other way at times, but I think that's more of a volume game. If you were like one of a few shooters on a team and you're taking a ton of shots, then it's the enhanced spacing that you want in the NBA. But for these guys who were already pretty much taking, I guess Ramsey might fall into that category, but Woodard's taking like, you know, spaced catch and shoot stuff. So I'm definitely, like, I'm looking at that it's going to be more like 35 to 37. Like, that's where I would expect. And I think, like, if, you know, I'm certainly buying the chance for upside. So if he's a 38, 39 guy, then you've got like a real, real exciting guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we're too far off there. And obviously, the size of Woodard is just extremely appealing there. I think that's part of the reason that him and Bay snuck into my first round as we were kind of wrapping up here. They were two of the final wings that were really on the board. And there's a quote from Monty after paraphrasing, but pretty much saying they were taking the best player available at most of these spots. And I mean, it was pretty close to my best player available too when they were making these selections.
Yeah. Before each pick, I tweeted out like, this is what my board would be like if I were the Kings, and both these picks were the top of my board for the, like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, the Kings should pick this player, and then they did, and I was like, just,
oh. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
The Ramsey one really put me over the edge. I was like, wow, they actually did this.
Let's get to it. That one's next. 43, just a few picks later. This is a guy that we have been, like, I think dangerously high on, I would say. Yeah. Lot of low-end outcome potential for Ramsey. The free throw percentage is abysmal. It's like one of the strangest, you know, like, what is it, 42% from three, 64% from free throw stripes, something like that.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary. And then also, like, the defensive lapses are legit horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also super young, 19 years old. He also scores in buckets. I mean, he scores in bunches. Gets buckets in bunches, whatever I'm trying to say here. He can really run it up on you. And, we talked about kind of on-ball creators as like good dart throws, as good rolls of the dice. Like, for instance, we had him like way above guys like Tillman, who are complementary pieces. Ramsey could be, it's probably going to be that anyway, but there's a chance that he could be the featured guy in a particular lineup, right?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be stretches of him heating up and potentially doing that. You know, what I buy for his floor is this 3-point shot, even though there's a little bit of a funky free throw percentage. I do buy him being a catch and shoot 3-point shooter at very least. And I think that he does a really good job of understanding spacing and utilizing his shooting threat off of the ball. But yeah, where the potential is in a guy like this, you know, one of the younger players in the draft, there's going to be a lot of swing skills. And to me, the three that stand out the most are his playmaking in the pick and roll, which is a combination of just like a loose handle and a vision that needs improvement. But these are things that, you know, you saw flashes of, and you mentioned him being very young. And then, yeah, those defensive lapses, there were moments of using the solid physical tools that he has and being a good defender and getting through screens. And even his primary physical tool, I'll say that I don't think he's the quickest guy when it comes to acceleration and first step, but he's a very good vertical athlete. And I think his top speed is pretty solid when you're talking transition. But the lateral quickness isn't phenomenal or anything like that. So it's really these defensive lapses and then kind of the handle that I feel like are going to be the big swing things. But, you know, you have a shooter that you're working with here that I really think, you know, when you get him in transition is going to be valuable. And yeah, I mean, upside as a 3-and-D player that, like you're saying, also has some stock that you could put into potentially maybe shooting off the bounce. Like the upside is totally there with Ramsey, but there's also a chance this is a player that just ends up with a horrible feel for the game. And that's why, you know, he was available in the spot that he was at.
Yeah. I don't know that I really view him as a 3-and-D guy. I get where you're coming from because I definitely buy the catch and shoot 3-point stuff. And I definitely buy the, I guess, effort in man defense. But I think that there's a certain type of like a low usage and a certain type of decision making that comes with the 3-and-D archetype that I don't think he has, and more, I guess, like, I don't know, better decision making in perimeter defense. But I see him as more of like an on ball creator. I mean, he's definitely going to be really, really quality shooting off the catch, but I see him as more of like a bench unit on ball creator type of guy, like high usage, maybe questionable IQ, shot IQ, you know, just taking a lot, like chucking it, you know what I mean?
I've seen like a J.R. Smith comp.
That's not a great comp. I mean, that's a scary comp.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I think that, yeah.
A microwave guy at times, right?
That's not, I mean, that, yeah, I mean, it's a good comp. It's like, it's just scary, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I also think one thing that stuck out to me about him, and it kind of reminds me of Cole Anthony in this way, and in general, the archetype isn't like too far off from a Cole Anthony archetype. It's just a lot lower on that same kind of spectrum. He has some really nice flashes. I don't even know if you mentioned this. I'm like falling asleep. It's like midnight right now and I've had a long day, but he has some really nice flashes of interior rim protection for a guy his size. Like he gets up and really helps around the rim when he wants to, when he's engaged, which is just surprising. You know, those guards that just like, it's like this guy's 6'3", 6'4", and he just like came across the weak side to help on this drive and just like stuffed this dude who's got like 5 inches. Like those highlight plays are there.
Yeah, it definitely is with him. And I think that there's just some guards that are more comfortable playing down low. Like I think Texas Tech did a good amount of switching and that put him on big guys. And yeah, I mean, he has almost double the amount of rebounds that he does as assists. Like I think he did a solid job boxing out some bigger bodies. And yeah, he's just not afraid to kind of get on the glass and bang down low a little bit. But yet on the offensive end, the lack of a first step kind of limits him getting to the rim sometimes. Like I think that, you know, his 2-point percentage, 45%, is obviously not a great number that you're working with there. And a lot of that is just a finishing improvement that's needed, as well as the handle to actually get to the rim as well.
For sure. For sure. But overall, very happy with the pick. Very, very happy with the pick. Very controversial pick, I think, like in terms of just looking at that Twitter mock draft consensus, or that Twitter consensus big board. Like, you know, his range is like from 10th to 75th on people's boards. Wow. So like really wide range. But he ends up, you know, averaging out to 40th, which is that plus value there. And I think draft Twitter is lower on him than like the experts in general. And then the final move of the night was 52 being traded for $1 million cash. Sounds nice. And next year's Lakers second round pick, which could be very, very, very late.
Yeah, probably around the same sort of spot. I mean, you know, we knew that Sacramento, I think this was pretty obvious that this was going to happen. It's funny, it was another situation where, you know, our understanding was that the pick was going to be made by Sacramento at 52. And up until the moment that the tweet came out and it said Houston was selecting, forget exactly who it was at 52 here, Kenyon Martin Jr. Yeah.
Who I don't think you ever slated at all.
No, I had no interest. Yeah, there were still some interesting guys at 52, I will say, like Cassius Stanley. I mean, Jay Scrubb. I swear, if they would have taken Jay Scrubb, you and I would have gone crazy in this draft. But Grant Riller, Paul Reed.
I would have lost my shit.
If
they got Jay Scrubb at 55. That's what I feel like this was. Like, obviously, I'm thrilled. Obviously, this is an A draft, like pretty much A-plus draft. I'm not going to give pluses in my piece for the B, but basically an A-plus draft. I'll say A draft because if Jay Scrubb was 52, it's an A-plus. It feels like to me like you had like – so sorry to go with the baseball analogy. I know everyone hates baseball and it's boring. But to go with like a baseball analogy, it's like you had four plate appearances and it was like you went 3 for 3 with a walk where like you could have gone 4 for 4, but like still – really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I'm super satisfied with the way Sacramento came out of this, and a lot of it has to do with Halliburton falling, but I mean, you still have to make that pick. And yeah, I think great values at 40 and 43. You have Asini for Woodard, had him 28, and Kevin O'Connor had him 20. And then for Ramsey, Asini was 45 and Kevin O'Connor was 37. Yeah, I mean, I think Sacramento had one of the better drafts. Some of the other ones that come to mind are Memphis, Dallas, and Philadelphia had pretty good nights that they were working with as well. And yeah, Boston and Detroit, probably two of the lower level ones for me. Man, that Peyton Pritchard pick. Oof.
Look at Boston had the worst draft ever. I can't believe that you're a Boston Celtics fan, and you should officially change. You should officially change your fandom to Sacramento Kings after this draft. What a terrible draft! Disgraceful. Actually, talk about your draft.
Yeah, I mean to go. I don't know what you're talking about. My draft. We just talked about my draft for.
Are you a Celtics fan?
No, I'm a Kings fan. What do you mean?
Okay.
Yeah. So the Celtics take. At 14, Aaron Nesmith with Maxey still on the board. Maxey fell to 21, by the way.
Hate Aaron Nesmith. If there's anyone on the entire draft that you were lower on than consensus, what'd you have him like? Did you even have him in your first round?
Yeah. No, I did. Let me pull it up here, but I think I have 27.
27, Jesus. And then yeah. Pritchard was in my top 60?
No. And he went 26. When I saw Pritchard's name, I died laughing.
They gave it a B on the Ringer and did they talked really? Oh. And talk yeah, of course. Bill Simmons fucking loves the pick. Right. You know who it is.
Oh God. With Grant Riller on the table. Grant Riller and Peyton Pritchard needed to switch draft spots. Peyton Pritchard going 26 and Grant Riller going 56.
Watch Grant Riller have a better career than Charlotte's other guard.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Man.
Who was the third one? You just traded it straight up for.
I think that they did end up taking Yamadar. They did. They
gross.
Yamadar at 47.
What did they trade 30 for?
They traded 30 to Memphis for. I actually never figured out exactly what it was for, but they traded away Desmond Bane. they traded away what probably would have been like one of their best picks.
It would have been your preferred pick out of those three.
I think I actually have Bane higher than Neesmith. Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
they traded away my favorite player out of this group. It's pretty great.
That is hilarious.
It's pretty great.
For a future pick. Yeah, it looks like a future pick.
Here. Dallas came out of this like crazy to me.
Dallas is Western Conference Finals.
To get Josh Green, Tyrell Terry, Tyler Bay, and Josh Richardson tonight, and only giving up Seth Curry. That's insane.
Yeah, that's legit crazy talk. And Luka's going to take another step, and they'll go to the maybe the finals. Come on, beat LA.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but overall, great night. This was a blast. I'm tired, same as you. I'm sure they can hear it. It's late, but this was a lot of fun, actually. I was surprised that I was pretty excited throughout the entire probably 55 picks. And I am just feel great about how Sacramento came out with this and gives me a little bit of excitement going into the year. Gonna brush up on a lot of film with these three guys. Man, I went into this expecting a different Tyrese to go to Sacramento, and they came away with the better one in Haliburton over Maxey. I feel great about this. I know a lot of the guys at the Kings Herald do, and definitely keep up with the work going on at kingsherald.com and support the Patreon there. And we're going to keep giving you content on these guys and probably recap a little bit of the rest of the draft at a later point when we're able to get some sleep here. But great night for Sacramento, and a great first impression for Monty McNair right now in the new front office going on there. So we're going to keep bringing you coverage. And if you enjoyed, please tune in for the next few episodes and everything that we keep putting out, and subscribe, rate, and review. You'll hear from us again in the next couple of days here.